morning. I am so happy to see you this morning. I had a little moment during worship. This is like apropos of nothing, but I had a little moment during worship where my eyes were closed and I saw a little flash of light and I literally had the thought, oh, I just got a ticket. Like, have you been that? No, maybe you don't get tickets. I get the flashing kind where this little light, because in Bend, we didn't have very many of those automatic light give you a ticket things. And when I moved to Beaverton, I got three at Allen and Lombard in 1 year. Three. You would think I would learn, but I did not. And so now I have this weird neural pathway that flashes of light send me into trauma and I have to recover from it. You probably brought stuff into this room as well. You brought some mindsets and some history into the room. And I think understanding that we all bring a different story in is really big for what we're going to talk about today. We all come in different condition. We all come in, some of you probably had, maybe had the best week of your life. Some of you maybe feel like you had the worst. Most of us are probably somewhere in between. But there's a lot of ways that we find ourselves this morning. It's okay to come in exactly as you are. And so I wanna, we've talked it before in the past about hallway seasons. And we talk about like hallways are awkward. You never like buy a new home and you go, what sold me on it were the great hallways. Just loved those hallways. In fact, I love my hallways so much, I'm gonna move my bed in there and decorate the walls and live in the hallway because it's great. No, hallways are meant to get you from one room to another room. They're not really meant to spend extended time in. But sometimes in our lives, while moving from one place to the other, we have to spend a little more time in a hallway season than we'd like to spend. Sometimes it's when a relationship breaks down, or when you're waiting for a relationship to start, or in a financial crisis, or in a business change, or in a parenting thing. There's hallway seasons. In fact, some of you are probably in a hallway season right now that your kid graduated and went to college in September, and they are home for Thanksgiving. Welcome to the hallway. You don't know if you're the parent or not anymore. They haven't needed you for life. It's just really tricky. I had a couple of them myself. That is a tricky hallway season. They're all tricky ones, but there's one hallway in the New Testament that I think is maybe the most profound and important for us to look at. And it is the hallway between Jesus' death on Friday and his resurrection on Sunday. I have a counselor who has talked to me a lot recently about how I'm not good at Saturday. I don't like the mushy middle. I don't like the moment between the death and the resurrection. I want to fix it now. I want to get it done. I want to get to the good part. And she was telling me recently, Jesus could have died and been buried and resurrected in 3 hours instead of 3 days. But he didn't choose that. He chose to give the disciples a day of waiting and wondering and wrestling with their faith. He chose to leave some time in the middle because he had to have known if we believe in the God who works everything together for our good and we believe that everything Jesus does is good, then we have to believe that even Saturday is good, even though it's also hard. And so I want to talk a little bit about the Saturday hallway that we face. I don't love it, but I know that there is a plan for it in my life. And I know that plan for a day of waiting and wrestling for those who were following him probably produced 3 primary things. It definitely produced despair. We see it in them. There is this anguish of their soul. They miss their friend. They watched him unjustly killed. They have sorrow and anger and grief and disappointment. It is what's called the dark night of the soul when the bottom drops out and everything falls apart. They would have experienced despair and they also probably would have experienced doubt. They probably had doubt in who Jesus was and what he had promised. They thought he would come guns blazing and save them. And then he comes and dies. The man they think is the redeemer of all time is dead in a tomb, having died the worst death imaginable. They're probably dealing with doubt in what they thought. Maybe some of them feel like a chump. Why did I put my faith in that? They're probably dealing with doubt in the scriptures in which they have placed their hope. Has that ever happened to you where during a hard time, a scripture lands in your life and you're like, that is so good. I'm gonna hold on to that. That's all things work together for good. Or I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and hope. That's just such a great scripture. I'm holding on for dear life to that scripture. And then in another season of your life, when you land in that place and you're in despair and somebody throws that scripture in your face and you're like, you know what? I don't need it right now. I don't think I put the same kind of weight in that scripture that I did before. Now I have doubts because doubts are intrinsic in hallway seasons. They probably had some doubts in each other. They had just lost one of their own. They lost Judas, who had turned Jesus in, and they probably wondered, who can I trust and what can I believe? Saturday seasons are almost always challenging in this area of faith. What is true? We can believe, even in a Saturday season, we can believe the truth God is good. But in a Saturday season, what do we do with the truth God is good to me? Can I believe that when the chips are down and when it feels like things are falling apart? And then another thing I think the disciples faced during that time was wrestling. The process by which we work through sorrow is wrestling. I might argue that despair and doubt in these moments are almost inevitable. You're going to face doubt and despair in a really difficult season. You're probably going to face all of those things and maybe more, but wrestling is optional. You can choose to quiet quit your faith. You can just disappear from it. You can walk away from it, or you can leave noisy. You can throw the glass and leave. But the option, the other alternative, is to wrestle through it. I'm going to figure out what I believe about who God is, even when the season is telling me he isn't good. I'm going to wrestle it out. I'm going to figure it out. Not everyone chooses to do the work of wrestling, because I think wrestling with God is a tricky proposition. It feels kind of wrong. It feels like a losing proposition no matter what. There's no way I'm going to win this, but wrestling with God is biblical and it's holy. We're invited to do it. We're invited to bring our reality to him. And I'm telling you, there is no faith worth anything in this world that hasn't been tested. There is none. James says it's the testing of our faith that produces resilience. It's not Easy Street that produces resilience. It's the testing of our faith. And so our faith, when tested and tried, becomes strong. It's something that holds the weight of things. It produces something beautiful in us. And I think we each have 1,000 tests of faith every day. We just don't realize them. We don't recognize them as that. I walked up here and I set my iPad on this table because I believed this table would hold the weight of it. Why did I believe that? Because 100 other times I've done it and it hasn't fallen. And so my table has earned my trust. I know it's silly, but my table has earned my trust. It holds up under the weight of my iPad. I don't know if it would hold the weight of that speaker. I'd have to try it to find out. And so we test each other in relationship. Every time we turn our car on, it's a test of faith. We think it's probably gonna start. When we call a number on our cell phone, we believe we're gonna get the person we're trying to call. Faith is all around us. We're always walking in it. We're always out in the middle of a faith world. And in our actual faith in God, it is also always tested. It's proven in those moments, and it can be trusted when it comes through on the other side of a hard season. All of these tests happen all the time in relationships, in objects, and in your friendship with God. Can he be trusted is the question that hovers beneath the surface of so many of our days. When I was at a conference this summer for Foursquare, and a bunch of Foursquare pastors were there, thousands, and they had a moment where they honored people for their length of service. And at the very end, they wheeled in a lady in her wheelchair, and she was lovely, and she was almost 100. And she got a standing ovation that would not stop. Not because people had necessarily received anything directly from her, but in looking at a woman like that, you understand the number of times in her life and in her ministry that her faith has been tested and tested and tested, and she's still there holding it. She is frail, but she is a superhero in the faith. She's built muscle. She's built determination. She hasn't quit. And it was inspiring just to see it because she wrestled through so many things in her life. So Paul tells the church something really interesting in Philippians 2. He tells them about the beauty and humility of Jesus, who stooped low to save us and to rescue us. And so Jesus, again, who could have come guns blazing, bells ringing, I'm coming in to storm the gates and take over this whole operation, doesn't. He comes in the form of a servant and gives himself up on the cross. So it says this, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So do you see how quickly Paul takes us from Friday to Sunday? He says, Jesus lays down his life on the cross, and therefore God highly exalted him. Bam, 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 it's all done. It's really good. And that's how I want my life to be exactly. I want it to resolve very quickly in 22 minutes with no commercials. That's what I want for my hero's journey. That's what I want for my story. But then Paul says to them, and like that's not how it played out for the disciples. They were there for the three long days. But Paul seems to understand this because the next thing he says is, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Jesus is now highly exalted. That work is finished. He is no longer in the tomb. And yet, Paul says to us, continue to work out your salvation. Keep wrestling with it because God is at work in you. He is working in you to achieve something better, to achieve something more lasting, to build some muscle, to build some wisdom. God is at work in you. So you work with him. That word in the Greek just means labor. This is kind of a laborious process to say, I am going to wrestle out my faith when the seasons are hard. I'm going to keep going back to him. It's a reverent resilience that understands God is at work on Saturday to build something inside of us that will matter on Sunday. Something is happening in us. Five words I want to say about how I think we can posture ourselves during seasons that are struggles, during seasons of wrestling, during seasons that feel like we're waiting and waiting between the promise and the fulfillment. First one is stay humble. Humility is the antidote to bitterness, cynicism, criticism, gossip. Stay humble. Stay close to the heart of Jesus, even when it feels hard to find. Even when it seems like, I don't know how I get there from here. A friend and I talked this week about how I can see God working. My brain knows God is working, but my feelings haven't caught up with that yet. And we encouraged each other, your feelings will catch up. God is at work. I see it in your life. Your feelings are coming. It's going to be okay. I have weighed the work of God in my heart sometimes and find it lacking. I don't think you did good enough. I don't think you showed up. But humility says, even though I don't understand it, I trust you. Even though I don't get it, I'm still here. I'm not leaving. I'm here to speak with you. I'm here to figure it out. That's humility. Humility says, I might not understand it, but I refuse to step into the place that only Jesus can fill. I'm not going to try to control this. I'm not going to try to manipulate it. I'm going to let God speak to me in it. When Lazarus dies, Mary is bereft in her grief, Lazarus' sister. She feels like Jesus showed up late, and she tells him, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And she goes out to meet him, and when she goes to meet him, the first thing she does is fall on her knees, which is a position of worship always. It's humility. She gets low so that she can speak to him, but I think she gets low so that she can hear him. It's not because Jesus demands it. Martha doesn't fall on her knees, and Jesus still raises her brother too. But Mary comes with a posture of hearing him in the struggle. I want to hear you. My position is still worship. My position is still that I'm submitting this to you. Stay humble. Wait reverently. David said, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And then stay honest. Saturdays and Saturday seasons are no time for sugarcoating. We don't have to bring God some dressed up idea of what we're feeling. Do you not think he knows even what you feel, even if you don't say it? We can bring him our honest thoughts. In fact, I think it's imperative that we do, that we come to him honestly. Listen to our king, our hero, King David. He is a man after God's heart. He's the one we write our worship songs after. He's the one we often revere in terms of the way he walks his life out with God. And he says this in Psalm 22, God, my God, why would you abandon me now? Why do you remain distant, refusing to answer my tearful cries in the day and my desperate cries for help in the night? I can't stop sobbing. Where are you, my God? Psalm 13, I'm hurting, Lord. Will you forget me forever? How much longer, Lord, will you look the other way when I'm in need? How much longer must I cling to this constant grief? I've endured the shaking of my soul. So how much longer will my enemy have the upper hand? And then I love this one because it's so dramatic. I'm fading away with weakness. Heal me, for I am falling apart. How long until you take away this pain in my body and in my soul? How can I be any good to you dead? I get it. For graveyards sing no songs. In the darkness of death, who remembers you? Could I bring you praise if I'm buried in a tomb? I'm worn out with my weeping. I endure weary, sleepless nights filled with moaning, soaking my pillow with my tears. My eyes of faith won't focus anymore, for sorrow fills my heart. David needs a counselor. He needs a little therapy, but actually what he does is he just brings it to Jesus. Honestly, this is what I feel. I feel it and it's hard. I feel like you're nowhere. I feel like you've disappeared. He brings the real, honest feelings of his heart, and we all can. We're invited to. We have all kinds of biblical precedents to be really honest about our feelings with God and even about our feelings about God. We can be honest and humble. We can wrestle and stay reverent. Number three, stay hungry. The worst mistakes I've made in my life have happened when I fill my hunger for God with something else. And when you feel disappointed by God, it's tempting to take that need for him to anyone or anything else, but I am begging you, stay hungry for Jesus. Keep wanting him. Keep longing for him. Keep pursuing him and his word. Remind yourself of what you know to be true over and over and over again if you have to. Keep reminding yourself that you love him for a reason. We just read David's plea in Psalm 22. God, my God, why would you abandon me? I can't stop sobbing. Where are you? But then, this is his Friday moment, but then his very next words are these. Yet you are holy. Oh, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel, in you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. Though he is in despair, though he is bereft, he has a yet. Yet you are holy and I know it. He's refocusing his hunger on who God is. David is in despair, and you can almost hear him wanting to walk away from all of this, but there's a but, or there's a yet you are holy. And I think there always is a yet on the other side of our very present now. This now is hard, but there is something bigger coming. There's something on the way. And when we focus our heart on that, it helps us stay in his presence and in the wrestling and let him move. Here's another yet, also from David. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I will yet praise him in every situation. There's an honest now, but there's also a future yet. So stay honest, stay humble, stay hungry, and stay held. I love this verse in Deuteronomy. It's spoken of the tribe of Benjamin, but I believe it's true for us as well. It says, "The beloved of the Lord rests in safety. The high God surrounds him all day long. The beloved rests between his shoulders." I think it's such a beautiful visual. And so when our son was about 4 years old, we went to Disneyland with our family. I hate Disneyland. It's just so much germs and so many things waiting to go wrong with your children. And so I probably I would like it now, but when I had little children that I thought could be taken and miss, you know, or throw up, that's the worst thing. And so we went and we stood in lines for rides and lines for churros and lines for all kinds of things. And we endured, it's a small world after all. And we did all the things. And toward the end of the day, Josiah was really tired and he asked his dad if he would carry him. And you know what his dad said? Sure, of course. And he put him on his shoulders and he carried him through Disneyland because that's what a good father does. It's okay to need to be held. It's okay to need God to come near to you. He doesn't get frustrated with you. He doesn't get mad at you for needing that. My husband picked Josiah up and carried him because he knows it's hard to be four sometimes, even in the happiest place on earth. And God promises to carry us because he knows it's hard to be human. And he knows we live in a Saturday season in our world. He knows this is hard. And he comes near, and it's beautiful. Jesus knows we're working out our salvation. He knows we're here on a planet, living in this weird between in the now and not yet. He knows it, and so he's good to us. So my final tip for staying resilient is this. Stay confident. You can have questions and confidence. You don't have to pick one or the other. You can have questions, I don't understand what's going on right now, and confidence, but I know that my Redeemer lives. You can have questions, I don't understand if you see me right now, but confidence, the God of David showed up for him, he'll show up for me too. You can have both. You can hold both together in the tension of your battle. The writer of Hebrews said, think back on those early days you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering? Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. And the people must have been growing weary in this season because his next words are this: so do not throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Do not throw away your confidence. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. The fulfillment of the promise is coming. It's coming. It's coming. And the wrestling is producing something in you that is worth its weight in gold. God is at work, both in our triumph and in our tragedy, both in our war and in our wounds and in our big wins. God is at work in us. We can count on it. And if you are in a wrestling season today, good for you. He wants to show up for you. He wants to move in you. He wants to produce something in you that can't be taken or shaken. Worship team is going to sing a new song. You don't have to sing with them. You can just listen and ask God. You can sing if you want to. You can ask God what he wants to say to you right now. Maybe you're in a season that you never thought you'd show up in. Maybe you feel like the bottom's dropping out of your world. Maybe you feel like the house on the rock, the storm comes in and crashes it down. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're in a good season, but you're still wondering about the faithfulness of God in your world. This is a moment. This is a moment right here. to say, Holy Spirit, I want to see something that you want me to see. I want to understand something that maybe I haven't understood before. The altars are open if you want to come down and pray, if you want to pray in your seat, if you want to sit and listen and receive this, whatever it is you want to do, I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to just speak as he wants to speak, and then I'll come back and close this up.
Never.
We invite you into this honest space. God, we repent for the dishonest songs we sing and the dishonest words we bring to you. And today we bring our whole heart, the pain and the brokenness and the loss, the unhealed, unnamed, untended pain in our heart. God, we ask that you would step in. Help us learn to wrestle with honor. Help us learn to wrestle with resilience and with reverence. God, we need you in a world that's unkind and not fair. We need you. We need you. We remind ourselves today that it's okay to not be enough for this. It's okay to need you. And we place our confidence in your hope, in who you are, because you are good and you always do good things for us. We love you and we worship you. In your name we pray, amen. Would you stand with me? If you're feeling this morning I feel the tension in the room. It's not a bad tension. It's just we're not used to being honest. We're not used to having hell and hallelujah so close together in a song. You know what I'm saying? We talk a good game, but not an honest one. And so if you're feeling like some of these feelings come up, like I have these honest doubts and questions, would you not leave before you pray with somebody and just touch base and say, could I borrow your confidence today? Could you remind me that God is faithful and good? I just need to touch base. I'm in a wrestling season, or I'm in a great season, but I'm still wondering about things. Touch base with somebody who wants to pray with you up here this morning. I would love that. This week is Thanksgiving, as you know, and I'm praying all of God's best mercy on your turkey, because turkey's gonna need it, guys. It doesn't cook well, it gets dry. I'm praying for you and believing that gratitude is gonna win the day. So if you'd like to receive the benediction, would you put your hands out in front of you? May you be people who are honest with your pain and with your doubt and with your questions and confusion. And may you find him faithful on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, because he is always truly faithful. In the name of the one who does all things good, we ask it today. And everyone said, amen. We love you so much. Hey, next weekend, the halls will be decked and we shall launch Christmas. So prepare your Christmas loving hearts. We love you.